This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Wait a minute. What am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay. This has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
You're insane.
I like having power over things.
No, I know. I've met you.
I like, and I'm unhappy when things, I don't have power over a situation.
Most people are.
Like, furious, though.
Sure. You,
like, if we're making plans, I say we should do it Friday, and everyone's like, I don't know if Friday works. Angry.
Yeah.
I said Friday, we should be doing Friday. I mean.
But if Friday doesn't work for everyone else.
Well, no, because then it's like 3 hours later, everyone's been arguing about it. They still haven't chosen a day. And then I'm like, Friday? And they settle on Friday anyways.
Oh, okay.
Just listen to me the first time.
Sure.
They think I'm some sort of little jester fool. And they don't realize that I'm saying the correct option every time I open my mouth. It's aggravating. You know?
Sure.
Your life will be easier. Assume your will to my control, and you'll have no worries.
Sometimes your my life is easier, or someone's. I mean, my life is easier generally. You don't really tell me what to do, but like sometimes people's lives are easier, and then sometimes it's just like,
look, you won't have anxiety if you don't have to make decisions. Don't worry. Don't worry about your phone calls. I've already made all your doctor's appointments for you.
Oh, if you're making them.
I'm making all the decisions. Don't worry. You're not. No need to be afraid anymore.
You're insane.
In the light of my benevolence, you're cured.
It's sentences like that, and then you're like, I need a woman to fix me. And I'm like,
it's because I'm
it's
going
to be a very specific type of woman.
It just needs to be a strong role. The only person I remotely listen to is women.
I know.
So I need like a nice, sturdy, strong-willed woman to fix me. Reach out to me, Florence Pugh.
So, yeah, you need a woman who is willing to deal with you absolutely being a benevolent, narcissistic god.
Yeah, I hope to find one who finds it endearing.
Or finds it annoying, but in an eye-roll way, not in... Sure.
I mean, look, there's a lot of women in abusive relationships, and I'm not going to be that.
Okay. I was wondering where the second half of
that No, I'm saying there's like a lot of people in relationships with like non-benevolent, like truly terrible narcissistic people.
Sure.
And I'm not truly terrible in my narcissism. It's terrible in size, but not in action.
Welcome to...
Like, I'm not going around putting people down generally, like to their face. I might think less of them, but I'm generally not going to be like, you suck. A lot of times I build people up because if they're around me, I want them to think better of themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't want people around me to have body dysmorphia or low self-esteem. You're in my presence. You must be a pantheon. Join me on Mount Olympus. I'm constantly building people up around me. But yeah, so like, I don't know. I feel like I'm a better choice than a lot of men women date.
Sure. 100%.
Although I did realize, I'm going to bring it up in therapy, because she's always like, what do you want to talk about today? And every week I'm like, don't you have anything you want to talk about? You should be bringing up topics occasionally. What's interesting you about this? I don't know. You're the therapist. But I did realize that I think I do, like, whenever I'm talking to one of my friends, I neg all my other friends. I've always been kind of aware of it, but I've realized now that, like, it is something I actively do. is I'll subtly make the other friends seem less trustworthy, not trustworthy, but less reliable. Usually make them seem a little bit silly or a little bit crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so that they see me as their only reliable true friend.
Probably.
Which is part of my broader goal to be everyone's best friend. Like, I want to be the top-ranked friend in everyone's life. One of my friends lost their best friend, and I'm pretty sure that makes me their best friend, and I'm very happy about this. It's an overall complete and absolute win. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your best friend, Matthew Olchek. Joined, as always, by my work husband and my best friend, Harrison Poole.
How are you doing?
But tired, haven't been sleeping well this week. But I was hitting a really bad patch of insomnia. I'm like missing waking up for work. I'm sleeping through alarms. And then I realized I could just send out an email saying, I'll be clocking in at 10 now.
Oh, nice.
So I did that. But now, now I'm just not like completely dying, but I'm still like not doing great.
Okay.
Now I'm getting like at least 3 hours instead of like 2 hours.
Weren't you just going to fix your sleep problems though?
And I did for a bit, but then it slipped because there's nothing reinforcing it really. Like the only times I can get out of bed like early is if I have to be somewhere and I can get to work on 3 hours of sleep.
Sure.
I need a strong, sturdy woman to yell at me, go to bed. It's time for bed now, honey. Get in bed.
If it works, it works.
It works. It's the only time I've ever slept well. Without being in relationships. Because they're like, we're not staying up till like 5, 6 a.m. We are going to bed now.
Mm. So the movie this week.
Yeah, it's our 1 year. We're unfixing Harrison's biggest mistake, which is losing Jennifer's body.
Yeah, it's our 1 year. This is our 53rd episode, I think.
Yeah, it should be 53rd.
Yeah. But yeah, Jennifer's Body, I love this movie.
My love is deepened for this movie. I don't even necessarily so much want to talk about the entirety of the movie. There's different things I want to touch
on. Sure, 100%.
I'm obsessed with why this movie isn't better. Do you know Megan Fox could fucking act?
Yes. It's this movie. It's, do you know, for I have had the most fights with people about this movie specifically.
Yeah.
That this movie's fantastic. I have had legitimate, like, not screaming matches, but hard arguments with people. And
I too, but I ended them by just calling them a misogynist.
Sometimes they were. Sometimes they just didn't like the tone of the movie.
If you don't like this movie, you don't like women. And you don't believe that they should be empowered.
Listen, I kind of believe that.
Like, unless you sit down and you give me, like, a detailed film review of this movie and why you don't like it. If you just go, I don't like this movie, it's because you're a misogynist.
Sure. A lot of people didn't think that it blended, like, the actual blending of horror and comedy was a little off. I disagree with that, but you're entirely, like, you're allowed that opinion. It's so weird. Quentin Tarantino loves this movie.
Yeah.
And he states how Megan Fox can act. It's so weird that Quentin Tarantino and I, it feels like, were the only two men for a decade hardcore defending this movie to other men.
Look, I don't know what the general public conception of it is.
It has...
No, of Tarantino's opinion on women.
Oh, sure.
I think he, from everything I've seen, I think he has a deep respect for women. Like all the movies he makes, I look at the movies he makes, and I'm like, man, really, like, didn't he make Death Proof?
Yes.
Yeah, like, every...
And Kill Bill, and,
He's probably done more, especially during the period where he was really pumping out movies, to put, like, women in front of them.
Yes. Also behind, Sally Mankey was his editor for, like, up until Inglourious Basterds before she passed away. But, like, his key collaborator was a woman. The person who, like, paced his movies correctly, which I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And it's, in my opinion, the first time Fred Raskins has, like, gotten Tarantino's rhythm.
Yeah.
Not talking about that. Talking about Jennifer's Body. It has gotten a resurgence in, like, reevaluation in the last, like, 10 years. And so I am so happy about it.
As it fucking should.
As it should.
Also, just a quick note. I like the, I'm not going to say, the kind of, like, meandering pacing of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I like a movie that meanders.
Yes.
It fits the like if it fits the vibe. Like, yes. Big Lebowski meanders, it fits the vibe. A movie I'm planning on bringing, especially now that it hit Blu-ray, Ephes, is possibly the most meandering movie I've ever seen. It is so good. But it is... The pacing is that the day's going by.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, no women in that movie, sad. No, there's one.
Okay.
Megan Fox should have been in that movie.
Oh my God. It probably, yeah. Her career would have been entirely different if this movie was well-received at the time. If 20th Century Fox hadn't messed up the marketing for this movie so poorly, then... This movie should have been a cult. I mean, it was a cult teen hit, but it should have made a decent amount of money, and it should have propelled Megan Fox into be like, oh, she's more than the Transformers Megan Fox hot.
Yeah.
Like, she's a good actress.
She can actually act.
Yeah.
Because she's okay in Transformers, but there's not a lot there to work with.
But sadly, this movie didn't do well.
Put it back in theaters right now.
100%.
There's another movie coming out in theaters. I was like, it's coming back. Was it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Mortal Kombat? I don't remember. But like, bring it back. Because right now, I'm announcing it. I'm marking the day right in your calendars as a holiday. I think we can, I know we said it during the Sinners episode, but I think we can officially say cinema's back.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do a little side review here because I don't know when else I talk about it. Superman, maybe the best superhero movie ever made.
You mentioned we were going to go see it. We just haven't picked a date. I want to see it.
Might be because it's... I'm going to go on a tangent here. Because I think what DC's done really well is that the person they put in charge of their entire franchise is a fucking director.
Yeah.
Not a producer.
Yeah, it's a filmmaker.
Is a filmmaker. And so, like, he's, like, knows what needs to be done.
Yes.
And knows how not to fuck over directors. Like, they're not doing the after credit scenes are just little fun scenes. They're not, like, connected because that fucks over people. But, like, he's making it so each movie, he's like, I don't care what the tone is. Like, they're going to make Clayface, which is going to be a hard R body horror film.
Hell yeah.
And so, I think, like, I don't know. It's the one thing that, like, I think early Marvel did a lot better, where each movie was, like, felt different.
Sure.
But then it kind of always became, like, the same fucking thing. But no, like, it truly is just, like, I'm like, it just stands on its own.
Yes.
So we had Sinners, we had that, put a... Jessica's body.
Jennifer's body, yes.
I almost said Megan's body. I was so proud of myself. I did.
So close. You were so close.
But put that back in theaters, and holy shit.
Yeah.
You got a horror sandwich with a nice little Superboy in between.
This, oh my God.
Let me tell you about the women's Superman. Yowza.
Okay, cool.
Sitting in the theater, I'm like, this guy's fucking up. He's this beautiful woman who's like crazy obsessed with him, and he's like, nah. I'm like, why wouldn't you? What's wrong here? Like, she's a little ditzy. Fuck off.
So, Jennifer's body.
Speaking of a woman who's a little ditzy.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this movie, what are you doing with your life? Go see this movie. You can find it in most $5 movie bins.
It's the only thing I want out of this podcast, besides fame and crowds of hundreds of people clapping for me, is for it to convince at least one person to see Jennifer's body.
We did, but...
All right, podcast is over. One year, we're done. Yeah. We did it!
Yeah, we convinced Joe to watch it.
It's so good.
Yeah, he thought it was pretty good. His response was, it's pretty good. It's fine.
Smells a bit misogynistic.
Okay, you're allowed to not like the movie or not be in love with the movie. I just think you're wrong. This movie invented feminism.
It invented feminism.
It,
what else would have?
You know when they say boys will be boys? This is girls will be girls.
This truly predates Brat Summer.
By over a decade.
It's like if a Brat Summer archaeologist was like digging.
Uh-huh.
Or like I'm just a girl. Archaeologist was digging. It's the equivalent of like a historical archaeologist digging and finding like a computer from Egypt.
This movie is what 2008 is. This movie is 2008. It's the most 2008 movie ever. It's the exact end point where you can get away with saying some of the things they do. And it's Obama hadn't, I don't think, I mean, by the time this movie came out, but when they were filming, Obama had not been elected, but he was like the front runner and there was like hope in the world. And
things were good.
Things were pretty good.
We'd reached a good crescendo. We'd reached the peak of, you know, we're pretty accepting of most things, but we're still saying most things. Yeah. Which, honestly, what a time to be alive.
It was, what a, yeah.
I have a not well-received theory that allowing some of the things to be said helped temper some of our worst influences in our society.
I have heard that theory. It is one that I am willing to explore.
I think it's a nice edge, though. Like, it really was. Yes. 2008, we got it.
Yes.
Because everyone was mostly accepting of everything.
Yep.
But you could still say things. So there's still, like, a release valve. You really need a release valve for the worst people in society if you're not gonna shoot them.
Sure. 100%. But yeah, this movie, let's get into it a little bit. This movie follows, okay, well, first off, did you watch the unrated, yeah, version? Okay. It's the only version of the movie you should watch. The theatrical version is fine. The unrated version has an entirely different opener, and decisions were made to more focus on Needy as the protagonist, while the theatrical version is kind of like torn between who's actually in charge of the movie.
Yeah.
This movie is, it follows, I'm gonna say a junior or senior in high school, Anita Lesnicki, and her best friend, Jennifer Check. Jennifer, they go to a concert at a bar for a band in the city,
For Creed Frey.
For Creed Frey, Adam Brody plays the lead singer, and Adam Brody riffs at this. He's so good in this movie. It's terrible lip syncing. Horrendous. I do not care one bit. It rules. The actual band playing this, I forget what they were called at the time. They were called No Country, and then after this movie came out, they changed their name to Low Shoulder.
That's insane.
And now they perform under the name Wilding.
That's an insane thing. I'm trying to think of like the equivalent I want to use here. Like, what do you perform this? Like, yeah, so I perform, yeah, we perform music for like kind of a rapist band.
Well, yeah.
And now we're going to switch our name to that.
It's the thing they're known for is that they did the soundtrack for Jennifer's Body. And so they changed their name to the band from Jennifer's Body because that's what everyone was going to call them anyway. Now they perform as the band Wilding.
It's amazing that they're still playing.
Yeah. Yeah, it truly 100% is. I'm trying to. There are fake bands that have spawned real bands.
The like Monkees,
Monkees, Blues Brothers. I can't think of another example where something completely shifted. The closest I can analogate it to is No Vacancy from School of Rock, but I don't know what they did after that movie. But they go and see the band, Low Shoulder at Melody Lane, their bar. And they're a band from the city. They're an indie band who wants to be big. And so they sacrifice Jennifer in a virgin sacrifice. But Jennifer isn't a virgin. And therefore, they get what they wanted. But Jennifer is possessed by a demon.
Which is really like,
she becomes a succubus.
It's really accepting of the devil.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Like, you do something, like, I brought you a virgin sacrifice. He's like, well, it's not really a virgin, but I'm not going to put that on you. Because she lied to you, so I'm going to fuck her. You guys, I'll give you what you guys want, though. That's fine. That's okay. You tried your best. Yeah. I'm accepting it.
You sacrificed it with the knowledge you had.
Yeah. So I'll give you your fame. But I'm going to turn her into a succubus.
And then that's the basic plot of this movie is Jennifer. Another thing that's only in the unrated version, which feels wrong, is the Jennifer, you're eating people. No, I eat boys.
Yeah.
Like, that's not in the theatrical version. And
it's not in the theatrical? Or it's out in the...
That line is not, or is not in the theatrical version of this movie. It's in the unrated version.
Yeah, yeah.
This script was written by Diablo Cody, who wrote Juno and...
Has, like, one of the best names in the business.
Yeah. She is the bartender of Melody Lane in that one shot. That's Diablo Cody.
Then, I do need a touch, because it is a George W. Bush era movie.
It is.
She does make the 9/11 joke.
Yeah, she does.
Which is really good.
That the first tower is not filled enough or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Long story short, she's a very distinct style. You're either going to be locked into it or it is not going to grab you. And I think if it doesn't grab you, you're wrong.
Yeah, you're a misogynist piece of shit.
When
I implement my regime,
yeah,
you're going to have to watch this movie. And if you don't like it, if you don't like it and your explanation is less than three paragraphs.
Sure.
I'm assuming at three paragraphs, you're starting to dive into like actual... cinematic things, so you're gonna be like a second class citizen, but you get to live.
Sure. Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. But if you're like, this movie sucked, Execution Squad.
This movie is, you know, so what? Quotable.
The world will be so much better for
yes,
that.
100%. But Diablo Cody, she's a very distinct style. She focuses on almost every line is quotable in this movie to the overkill degree that when every line is quotable, it feels like no lines are quotable. But there are some stellar
the
lines.
The floating line.
The she's just hovering.
Yeah, she's just hovering.
Did you get the make and model of the van? I don't know, Chip, an 89 rapist?
So good.
There's so many good quotes in this movie. Again, you're either going to be on board or you're not. And
did I state in the first time that I think I don't understand how anyone died in that fire?
I feel like I probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Just get out of the building.
The original exit was blocked somehow, I'm guessing with flames. And so they had to like find other exits and then people panicked. The thing is people panicked. That's what led to everything
I'm just saying, if there's a lot of fire in the front exit, you're going to burn to death either way.
Yes.
Just jump through the fire.
Also, I love how their escape through the bathroom window is later mirrored in the end from the prison,
mm-hmm.
like in almost the exact same way. Is this say what you want about this movie, this movie pays off everything it sets up.
I would have gone to the ice thing the bartenders use.
Yeah,
I would have made myself all slick and wet, jump through the front, just go through the front, fire can't touch me. If the water in my skin would evaporate, I'd walk through untouched.
Sure. But yeah, the thing is, people panicked. That's what led to the catastrophe.
Can't beat me.
That's why when fire alarms go off in schools, they try and teach you to remain calm so that no one dies.
I don't think I ever panicked to the fire alarm. I remember like 14 or 15
mm-hmm.
at Kent. There's like a tornado warning and stuff. And there was like a high risk of a tornado forming on campus or something insane. And so my reaction, as a lot of people on the floor's reaction was to have our tornado party where we started playing movies and some people started like getting food delivered. And our goal was to see the tornado because we were really high up in a building. And so we figured we'd be able to see it from quite, we were like 7th floor Leibrick, so we could like see like a lot of things. So I'll hang out by the window. Someone put on like Hercules, we're blasting music, we're eating like pizza until camp security came and told us, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, 18-year-olds are stupid.
Oh, I was 21.
Oh my god. That's...
Because I was that was a wet floor.
Oh, okay.
So I brought out some beer I had. I was passing around beers. Me and my buddy were like, oh man, this is like if you knew 9/11 was coming. Because in our heads, if it was ever dangerous, we would just go down to the basement real quick.
I love everything's set up. I mean, this movie is a good, it's a real movie.
It's a real good movie.
But I love the weird decisions sometimes it makes, like J.K. Simmons' character not having a hand and then never explaining it. Because either, well, it's the middle of the year, so either he explains it in the beginning of the year, or he just never explains it.
Also, some people just don't have hands.
And then people accept it.
You see someone in public without a hand, you can't go over and be like, why do you lose your hand? Why do you have one?
People do all the time.
Yeah, and that's this movie saying that's unacceptable. Just accept it.
I agree with you.
This movie's teaching important lessons.
Real quick, I'm going to run through Amy Sedaris plays Needy's mom. I think I mentioned that last time. She rules. Jonas's dad, the guy who yells, like, I'm going to nail your ball sack to my door as a door knocker the rich folks use.
Yeah.
Bill Fagerbakke, or Fagerbakke, I think, who voices Patrick Starr.
Yeah.
And you can hear it. Like, the first time he yells, it sounds like Patrick Starr.
It's like anytime you see who voices Mr. Krabs? He's less like Patrick, where it sounds the same.
Yeah.
But I know what the actor that looks like Mr. Krabs looks like. So whenever Clancy.
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown. Anytime I see Clancy Brown in something, I don't think it sounds like Mr. Krabs, but I 100% go, hey, that's the guy that voices Mr. Krabs.
I'd seen this movie a bunch. I knew who it was, and then every time he does that first yell, it sounds like his Patrick yell.
I gotta start pairing this every Halloween with Trick or Treat.
Yeah, we should.
It's very reminiscent of my favorite subplot in Trick or Treat, which is the werewolf one.
Mm-hmm.
I just like good stories about female empowerment.
Yeah. I love this movie is so overtly sexual, but rarely, if ever, feels like it's punishing the characters for having sex.
Yeah.
Which is so weird in horror. Like, that's not a thing. Like, in horror, it very much feels like you have sex, you die. In this movie, you have sex, you die, unless you're the protagonist.
Yeah.
But at the exact same time, they're unrelated. Like, you're not dying because you're having sex. Well, the succubus, you're dying because you're having sex. It's the only time I
it's
feel
not because
like
you're having sex. It's just because it's a succubus.
Yeah. The only time I feels like it feels like it's punishing a character for having sex is Colin, who deserves it. The emo kid. The moment that door is listen, I horny teenage boys.
So, for a moment, I was like, he deserved it. And then you said the next sentence, I'm like, oh, yeah, fair. You're not making like a moral judgment of the guy. You're like,
no.
It is equivalent of some, like, you're walking, and someone's like, hey, come into this dark alley.
Yeah.
There's no cops here. Oh, by the way, leave your phone outside the alley.
Yeah.
Put this gag in first. All right, come in. And you get robbed. It's like, well, buddy.
So, I've been a horny teenage boy before in life.
Don't believe it.
The moment that door is locked and zero people are answering, I'm not climbing through the window. I'm not. But he climbs through the window. If I climb through the window, which I wouldn't do, but if I climb through the window, I'm especially leaving the second I see the crow. The moment the crow comes flying at me, I'm out of there. I've never been so horny.
The crow would actually make me then believe it was an okay situation because I love crows. So I'd be like, if a crow's here, it can't be too bad. Crows are cool. No, they bring you things.
No.
I follow 5 crows on Instagram, and if any of them showed up at a place, I'd be like, this is a safe place for me. This crow's holding space.
Jesus Christ.
I can't imagine you as a horny teen. Was your horny teenager noise you would make when you saw a hot woman?
I didn't have
one. Well, every horny teenage boy did something. Some would stamp their feet. Some of their tongues would come out. Their eyes would shoot out.
I don't know. If I had one, it was involuntary. But
I go, wow!
I know. You kind of do that. Ooh, still today. Yeah, you still do that today.
Just as horny as I was as a teenager.
I know, I'm aware. But
watching this movie, I'm like, you whoa!
I understand they're in high school.
Fucking Fox isn't.
Okay, but Jennifer Check is.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not calling it the failing of the movie. I don't believe it. I believe it when she's looking less good.
Sure.
But when they have her, when it's like, it's Megan Fox.
Yeah.
With like, they've done her makeup up because it's, you know, it's Megan Fox.
Yes.
I do not believe she's in high school. Her acting, yes. Visually though, I'm still like, that doesn't look like a high schooler at all.
But so there were so many flags that he should have stopped.
Kids are dumb.
Kids are dumb. That is truly a thing where you chalk it up to kids being dumb. I also find Chip's turn at the end to be less weird this time, or like the last two times I watched it. At first I thought it came out of nowhere, and it was like the one thing about this movie that I actively was like, well, that just kind of has to happen for plot relevance. But they set it up kind of like is anyway. Another great line from that scene is "Nice hardware, Ace." I love. We were talking about lighting a little bit in the Sinners episode. That scene specifically, I love how that scene is lit. It looks so creepy, but pretty, but like visually appealing. It's so the idea is that it's harsh yellow light, which doesn't look good ever. But they found
really
a way.
Shitting on the sun here.
Okay, natural light is not harsh yellow anyway.
It has to be, or super, because Superman gets his powers from a yellow sun, not a blue cool sun.
Okay, so
read a comic book.
Anyway, it's the idea is that it's lit by candles, and so they use harsh yellow lighting, and they found a way to make it look pretty. And the this movie rules, and it sucks that it didn't do well because Karen Kurosawa. I keep wanting to say Kurosawa. What's her last name? The director of this movie is should have had a huge career. Karen Kusama, she should have had a huge career. Megan Fox should have had an entirely different career. Diablo Cody did fine. Amanda Seyfried did fine. Also, Chip is played, I forget the actor's name, but Young Neil. The next year, he's going to star in Scott Pilgrim as Young Neil. Everyone in this movie should have had, I mean, except for the people who had the career they were supposed to have, everyone should have had a better career than they got. Megan Fox should have been what Margot Robbie is now. I'm not to say that she, I mean, I don't know her talent level when the character is not like built around her, but
do you think she could play Barbie?
She could play a Barbie. Yeah.
Absolutely. Harley Quinn.
I think she'd make a better Poison Ivy.
Sharon Tate.
See, that's the one. I don't know. I think so.
You think so?
I don't know. Margot Robbie brings something so specific into that role. It would be a different
Margot
take
Robbie
for
has
sure.
His like softness to a lot of yes. She's able to go on.
Yes. Well, Megan Fox is like in this movie, an excellent actress, is a machete of an actress.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need a fine tooth comb.
But she should have been in so many more movies.
She should have been in so many. And now I'm going to tell you about the one thing that I think this movie does wrong. There's a line in this movie.
Okay, thin line.
I know. There's a line.
There's in a this loaded movie. Gun in this
There's
house.
A line in this movie where Jennifer may or may not be going to the dance to eat people. And Needy says that it would be an all-you-can-eat buffet. The fact that she didn't say an all-you-can-eat boy fay, that might knock this down to a 9.9. Jesus is all Christ. I'm saying. A 9.99. It was right there. The line was right there that she should have taken it, is all I'm saying. That's what keeps
See, also, I don't think she's correct.
What?
About being an all-you-eat buffet. Because eventually, I'm gonna say, if I'm at this dance, right, mm-hmm. and half the boys have been eaten, I'm not assuming they're being eaten, but I'm thinking, I guess everyone's leaving, and then I'm going home.
I mean, assuming you can get out, I'm assuming she will cleverly find a way to like block people in or have magic powers. Man,
look, I'm still the same horny boy when I was a teenager. Succubus comes at me, she's not gonna want to eat me. There's gonna be no fear. There's gonna be only hope. I'm going to be so hopeful and so unfearful.
So, yeah, that's the thing, is she needs her victims to be afraid and hopeless.
Yeah.
In order to truly get all of their power.
I think I would just end up being her buddy. Because I'm just, you can't eat me. It won't give you sustenance. It's like when in some things when vampires eat real food and they like choke on it. Mm-hmm. That'd be me.
Oh,
finally, a whore woman, a woman monster and whore that I will survive. Finally.
And that later being paid off with hopeless being written on the side of the pool is just a nice little touch. It used to bug me, why was there a random abandoned community pool like at the hill of this park? And now I just accept it. I just accept that this is the town they live in.
Yeah, have you seen more of America?
Yeah, Wisconsin's weird.
As someone who's driven through a lot of the Midwest,
same.
Did not faze me at all. I'm like,
no,
100%, yeah.
It hasn't fazed me as an adult, but as a teen watching this, I like having not experienced as much of whatever, I was just like, that's weird, but I'm going to accept it. And now I'm just like, no, that makes sense. Yeah. That's what this town would have. It would have an abandoned pool that's just like, at this point, covered in vines that aren't on the outside, by the way. On the outside, that building is pretty pristine.
Well, yeah, it's pool vines. It's like going to like a lake and being like, there's a lot of algae in this lake, but there doesn't seem to be any outside it. Plants have biomes, and they can't grow everywhere, okay?
Okay.
What, do you expect there to be fucking building vines?
Yes. Anyway.
Where's all the pool vines are sucking all the nutrients. God, read a book on botany. Just once in your life, learn something about plants.
You good?
It just aggravates me how little you know about plants sometimes.
So anyway.
But you can't even tell me what the first recorded tree in America is.
No.
It's the ginkgo.
Oh, cool. Good to know.
Not 100% sure in that pronunciation.
Anyway, where were we?
You're talking about the pool.
Yeah, it rules. That's it's perfect. This movie might be... I used to think this movie was great, and these last two times watching it, I think I've accepted it might be perfect.
It's definitely one of those movies where I really have no criticisms of.
She should have said Boy Fae is all I'm saying. I think that's the one thing. I think that's the one thing that keeps us as a 9.99. I'm not.
This one thing is the reason why I'm a simp and you're not.
First, I am a simp. I'm just a simp for a specific person.
I'm a simp for all women.
Yeah, I know.
Me and Tarantino would get along great.
This movie should have done banger numbers. 20th Century Fox screwed up the marketing on this horribly. Because what they should have done was market this movie to teenage girls. The intended audience that this movie was made for. This movie was made, it's a horror comedy.
But teenage girls don't like horror.
They're like, teenage girls don't like horror, and we can't have Megan Fox in a girl movie. And so instead they marketed it like this sexy like horror that Megan Fox is hot, and that's such a small part of this movie.
It reminds me of my therapist saying she wasn't interested in seeing Superman because she doesn't think the actor's hot.
Okay.
And I was like, I mean, first off, unpopular opinion from what I've seen. Second off, I just think that a movie should be judged on its content and not whether or not the actresses and actors are hot.
Sure.
If that's the only reason you're going to see a movie, I think you're stupid.
Sure. But this is they tried to market this movie to teenage boys, and I think that's why it got such low audience reviews as well as critical reviews, because this movie was marketed as one thing and the movie is entirely a different thing.
I can't think of marketing that's fucked up this bad. besides this movie. This is just a critical fuck up when it comes to how we show this, how we market this movie. Like, was Schindler's List marketed as a comedy or something?
It would be like marketing Schindler's List from the perspective of the girl in red and saying it's a children's movie.
That'd be pretty basic, actually.
Okay. But they didn't market nearly any of the dialogue, which is its key selling point.
The marketing should have had the line, they're not people, they're boys.
Yes. Yeah, like, you
eat
people?
That's the tone of the movie.
I eat boys.
That's the tone of the movie. They do that scene, and then I'll keep you my dirty little secret by the All American Rejects plays immediately after. That's the trailer.
I was going to say that, or Just Pay Screeching Weasel More Money. And do I can see clearly now the rain is gone, and have that, like, have that.
Side note, do you remember moon bowling? I was thinking about this the other day.
Moon bowling?
Yeah, it's when they do, like, the black lights at and they play all the music videos, and it was, like, exclusively All American Rejects, yes, and Fall Out Boy. Sure. 2008, like, that, life used to be good, folks. If you're, like, a Zoomer and you don't remember, like, Bush being president, yeah, sure, the war on terror sucked. Life used to fucking rock. It used to be cool to be a kid.
We had great Green Day records. Not to say that we don't still have great Green Day records, but he didn't release any of the bad ones yet.
It used to be like, it used to be cool to be a kid. No one was writing articles saying we stare weird.
Yeah.
Fucking Linkin Park, Fall Out Boy, Moon Bowl, Hit Clips.
We were at the beginning of Marvel.
The beginning of Marvel?
When it was still fun and interesting.
The future didn't seem incredibly bad because Obama was about to be elected. It used to rock to be a kid, dude.
Dude, if you were in middle school and early high school in 2008, it ruled.
Like, my entire high school was like Obama's first term. Like, the only really bad thing was, of course, Israel and Gaza. But other than that, it fucking, like, you're like, you know, things aren't too bad. Fucking music's bopping. Fucking trip pants. Android phones are starting to become good.
I have so many thoughts on this movie that it does technically, and I want to spoil none of it. I honestly think we have spoiled too much of this movie already, but watch the unrated version of this movie. It's only 5 minutes longer, and it's almost entirely in the opening scene. It's an entirely different opening, because I want to say the theatrical version starts with the house. And has, like, much less voiceover.
I don't think I've ever seen it. Second, you said, don't watch the theatrical version. I went, okay. And I was never done.
Yeah. Watch the unrated version of this movie. Watch this movie.
Man, every movie used to have a fucking unrated, like, or X-rated cut.
Yeah.
Things used to be cool, dude.
There are a few changes made for censorship stuff, but, like, it's not X-rated. Like, it's really not that bad.
That's how I imagine most unrated movies actually are. I don't think they're...
Some of them, yeah.
I've never seen one. I was too young to watch it back then.
I truly think that if this movie did well, not only would everyone's career have been different,
the world would be a better place.
I think cinema would be better.
I think
weirdo small budget, because this movie it made $31.5 million.
If this movie did well, Trump would not be president.
Maybe if we just accepted feminism
as a nation. Would respect women.
Yeah, for real. Is so. I 20th Century Fox is the reason things suck right
20th
now.
Century Fox is a reason for everything bad, and why kids can't watch what's the Secret Temple show at Nickelodeon anymore.
Oh, Legend of the Hidden Temple?
Yeah, that movie, that shit rocked.
Yes, it did. This movie
20th
was
Century Fox is the reason why kids can't read zoo books.
This movie was made for $16 million, and nowadays, like, we don't really get movie. I mean, a little bit we do. We don't really get movies outside of an A24 at this budget anymore.
It's the fucking. I was just watching an older interview again with Tarantino this morning while eating, and because someone was like, "Oh, you love Marvel movies?" He's like, He's like, I don't hate them. He's like, I just hate that they're all movies are, and now every movie has to be this big budget thing.
Yes. It would be a better place if we could give up-and-coming filmmakers or legends who haven't made a movie in a while, give Amy Heckerling or John Carpenter
like
a $50 million budget.
If you give John Carpenter right now $50 million, he's going to spend it on video games.
He has said that he doesn't want to make, or he's not against coming back, but he will not come back for low budget anymore.
Every time I've seen him talk recently, I haven't seen him talk in a while, it was almost exclusively about like Red Dead Redemption. He's really into Red Dead.
Maybe he wants to make the Red Dead movie.
That would be good.
Yeah. He loves westerns.
Let John Carpenter adapt video games.
Dude, give him $70 million.
I want to see a John Carpenter Resident Evil movie.
I mean, we're getting Zach Cregger's Resident Evil movie, so.
I hope it's good.
I hope so. I hope so.
They
so
haven't been good, traditionally.
I remember liking the first one. I don't remember any of the other ones.
Well, video game movies weren't really good until Sonic happened, and then we're like, oh, this is not terrible. What the
yeah.
fuck?
And then they figured out how to make them fun.
Yeah.
But everything about this movie works. And if this movie doesn't work for you...
You're a misogynist.
It's an orange flag, for sure. I don't know. I'm not gonna jump to misogyny. I'm going to hear out.
If you say I hate this movie, I'm gunning you down, and I'll be protected underneath castle yeah. law in the state of Ohio. No jury it will convict me.
So a person we went to film school with, who we talk about quite a bit, we're looking forward to his true crime podcast or his true crime episode.
Oh yeah, okay.
He hates this movie.
Yeah, of course, because he's gonna be on a true crime podcast where he kills his fucking wife.
Anyway,
the man fucking hates women. The one thing you can say about this man is that he has a complicated relationship with fucking women.
Yeah,
and yeah, 100%. Watch him try to drive himself and punch cars because of women in a single night. Like in the span of an hour, he went from trying to drown himself in a pool to attacking cars. Is that who you want to be? Is that the kind of person you want to wake up and look in the mirror and that's what you want to be? Fucking like Jennifer's body. If you don't, kill yourself.
And that's the dismount.
If I see you on the fucking street and you don't like Jennifer's body, I'm kicking your fucking ass, you misogynist prick. Stay away from my daughter.
I don't think we could end this any better way. Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I'll do socials. If you want to send, I don't want Jennifer X Matthew fanfic. She's high school. Even if you wrote me as in high school, I, as an adult, don't want to read that. So just like, you know, if you want to send the traditional requests, which are Cora, Mary Sinners. What was the most recent one?
What was the last movie we watched? Vice. What was the one before that?
It wasn't
that?
Vice. Before that was All That Jazz.
Yeah, it was Velma, All That Jazz.
No, it was Chicago.
Or yeah, it was Velma from Chicago.
Yeah, Velma from Chicago. But $5 to $10 bounties. TwoMenMoviePodcast@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Instagram, maybe see me terrified on a boat in the upcoming future. You can find me at Midwest_magician. If you want to listen to Brandon, if you don't want to listen to Brandon, sorry. If you want to listen to the occasional guest Brandon Boland, go to Two Men and a Movie Podcast on YouTube. His episodes are too long. You won't find him there.
You can find me on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, and Lemonade under harrisonpoole.com, HarrisonPooledotcom, harrisonpoole.com. You can find me on Letterboxd at HDPoole124. This movie is the movie I have logged the most on Letterboxd now. I've seen this movie 4 times in the last year.
Wild as in School of Rock.
No, I on purpose only watch School of Rock once a year. I only allow
you
it
used
on my
to
birthday.
Watch it more.
I know. I only
you should have been
allow
logging
it, on my...
it every single time.
I only allow me to experience that level of joy once a year on my birthday. Anyway, thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for her theme music. Thank you guys for listening. Listen to his band, Natural Health, or Tonight with Vince. Next month is all guests. It's going to be all guests. We're very excited. We have a wide array of movies. Like, there is really no theme. I'm super pumped.
And we don't like the movie. We will kill the guest live on mic.
We will verbally fight the guest live on mic.
We will execute him live on mic.
Okay, thank you guys for listening. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses. Kill boys.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.